Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. It's not every Lord's Day worship that you get to read the whole book. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to read the whole book, which is just 40-some verses. So I encourage you to hang in there with me as I read this scripture and follow along. And the reason we're doing that is just so we can get a sense of all that's going on in the book of Jonah. Whereas most of our time today will be spent in the book of 2 Kings, where we read about Jonah. And so this is the word of the Lord. We're going to read all four chapters of the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to the great city, and cry out there before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He began to Tarshish. So he to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord, and there was a mighty so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the to lighten the load. But Jonah, the parts of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain, "What do you mean, sleeper? Consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us this trouble upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? Who are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall be calm for us? The sea was growing more tempestuous." And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, let us perish for this man's life, and do not blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me, and out of the belly, and you heard my voice, for you cast into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I have been cast out of your sight, yet temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Arise, city and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, fat in ashes. And he called throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed, "Oh Lord, was not my country? Therefore I to Tarshish, for I and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his mercy. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened, when the sun rose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death. "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right to plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Well, I want you to turn now to the book of 2 Kings chapter 14. We're going to read a few verses from there. 2 Kings chapter 14. We'll be reading verses 23 to 27. "In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. For the Lord was very bitter, and whether bond or free, there was no helper for Israel. And the Lord did not say that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash.
Well, let us pray.
Father God, for your word. And now, Lord, we do ask that you would give us strength to hear from it, to hear the preaching of it. Lord, give us strength, give us physical strength, spiritual strength to hear. And also, Lord, we ask that you'd be working in our hearts, that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers as well. So as we start this book of Jonah, and we get into its teaching, Lord, we are recognizing and declaring our dependence upon you to make these truths known to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Jonah was Jonah, as we know him, God used him in a more subtle way, a way less known to most people who know about fish. But in his relationship with the Lord and what he had to say in the book we know as Jonah. As we just read in Jonah chapter 4, Jonah said to the Lord in anger, I said when I was still in my own country, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. How did Jonah know this? He was God's prophet. He had been speaking to Israel and he'd been seeing things in Israel that were preparing him to do the work that God would have him do when he went to Nineveh. And here in 2 Kings chapter 14 is where Jonah saw God's grace and mercy. It is where he saw God deal kindly and gently with Israel, who was slow to anger, kind, and turning away from doing harm. There was a time in Jonah's life in which God used him as a prophet to declare his grace to Israel. And what we are going to see God do eventually in Nineveh, he's already been doing in front of Jonah's eyes. And so as we look at 2 Kings chapter 14, we're going to see that there are great parallels in this, just these few verses, in verses 23 to 28, with what God will do in Jonah's life and in the life of that great city, Nineveh, and not to mention how he works in our life as well. God was showing himself to Jonah back in 2 Kings in order for Jonah to know God's heart, his heart of mercy and kindness. And he would need to see this for future days in Nineveh. And we need to see it as well. We need to see God's gracious, his gracious mercy and kindness as well. For it is one thing to see God's mercy upon the people he has covenanted with, Israel. But it's also another thing to see God extend that covenant and that mercy to his enemies. Because that's what God has done to us as well. In Israel, God displayed before Jonah three great things which God would use later in Jonah's life. And what was put on display in 2 Kings is the great wickedness in Israel. We see that in verses 23 to 24. And then we see in verses 25 to 28, the great grace of God amongst that wickedness. And then in verse 25 also, we see the great assignment for Jonah before he was Jonah. And what I mean by that, before he was Jonah, not necessarily absolutely that chronologically speaking that what happened here in 2 Kings came before Nineveh, because we don't know that for sure. But what I mean by that is, how you know Jonah. How you know Jonah is not from 2 Kings, primarily. How you know Jonah and what God did in his life and in the life of Nineveh, you know from the book of Jonah. But before we know what God had been showing Jonah in his life, in the life of his people, and also in God's heart. So this is why I say to you, today's sermon is entitled, Before Jonah Was Jonah. In other words, before you know him like you know him, there's some other things to know as well, and how God used these things in his life. And so first we're going to see from verses 23 to 24 in 2 Kings 14, the great wickedness of Israel. And this is something that we have. It is something that we had heard over and over again about Israel in the book of Hosea. And here we have recorded for us the continuation of that theme that was in 1 and 2 Kings, or 2 Kings rather, about Jeroboam, this king who, and the practice of idolatry and false worship. And we notice here there are things that follow along in the generation after generation in the book of Kings, and there's almost a tagline that goes with those kings who did not follow the Lord, but followed in the footsteps of King Jeroboam. And this is what we see here in verse 24, talking about this king, Jeroboam the second. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. The sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, was something that is ongoing through the book of Kings. It's something that is tagged on to those kings who continued to follow in his footsteps. And we need to remember that this is what is going on in when Jonah was a prophet to Israel. He was there and he was seeing this. And also remember that God, when he divided the kingdom, told this king, Jeroboam, that he would be with him and that he would build for him an enduring house as he had done for David. This is back in 1 Kings 11. If he would but follow his statutes, that he would make him a house, that he would be with him. But it was only a short time later after that declaration that King Jeroboam would rebel against God and set up idols of golden calves, set up false priests and a false system of worship and false places of worship, and lead the people of Israel to sin, as verse 24 states here. So when God first raised up Jonah, as we find him in the scriptures, he raised him up to speak to a people of great wickedness. This would be good training for Jonah, because that's what he's going to have him do as well, to Nineveh. Jonah was prophesying during a time of great wickedness. And that means that where Jonah was, he was not able to go and worship God. He was not able to go to the temple that God had set up. He was in this city or this nation of wickedness and was prevented from going to worship God. And that's why we see in his prayer that we read in Jonah 2, when he was in the belly of the great fish, he had these longings. And while he was in the fish, he was remembering his time in worship. Chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "Yet will I look again toward your holy temple." Verse 7, "My prayer went up to you into your holy temple." And then verse 8 and 9, he remembers the and recommits himself to worshiping God, all while he was there in the belly of that fish. But he saw these things. He saw these things when God raised him up to be a prophet towards Israel. And so the wicked idolatry of the 10 tribes of Israel was still fresh in Jonah's mind. The holiness of God was still fresh in Jonah's heart and mind, and he longed for that. And while he saw the great wickedness all around him that deserved God's wrath and judgment, he would also get to see God's grace and mercy. And he, being a true prophet of God, knew that Israel was not walking with God, but walking in wickedness. He would also see this in Nineveh. It was what God declared about. In verse 1, we hear the Lord saying to him, "Their wickedness has come up before me." Not only is it that the Lord could look down and see their wickedness, but their wickedness was so horrible it was rising up to the Lord. And here is the difference. Israel was the Israel had been given all the people, but here was Nineveh outside the covenant relationship of being God's people. Israel had the leadership of a king, and they were following a king in evil and sin itself. And so it is in the midst of great wickedness that something else great is needed. and that is God's mercy. And that's something that Jonah would also see. He would see God's grace, and only God's grace, who could deliver Israel. And Jonah is involved in God's work of grace for both Israel and Nineveh. As we look at God's grace in Israel, we see it in verses 25 to 28, where the Lord says, He restored, speaking about Jeroboam, He restored, and here God is using a wicked king to do His gracious work. He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the Sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which He had spoken through His servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath-Hepher. For the Lord saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter, and whether bond or free, there was no helper for Israel. Here we see God's grace towards Israel at a time in their wickedness, showing them He had not abandoned all of them completely. Apparently, they had lost some of their territory that they once had claimed, and now the Lord was giving it back to them, restoring the land back to them by His grace. And He used this wicked king, Jeroboam II, to do that. God used a sinful leader, a sinful government, by His grace to restore this land because they had no other helper. Whether they were bond or free, they were in a pitiful state. They had no other helper. And their affliction, the Lord says, was very bitter. And sin brings bitter consequences. And sin is the reason for this bitterness. And so they did not earn this restoration of the land. It was God's grace towards them that He would show to them to restore that to them. Their enemies would enslave some of them. Some of them were free, and some of them were in bondage, but they were all in great bitterness. And there was no one to help them. Does this not ring a familiar tune in our own ears? Who do we have to help us except the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's grace? John 14:6, as you know, reminds us where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We have no one to help us except Jesus. There is no one who can pay for our sin except Jesus. There is no one who can die for us and be received by God as the payment for our sin so that God would help us and save us. There is no one to help us except Jesus. What a pitiful state that was for Israel to be in. They had no strength. And not only did they have no strength, they had no one who would come to help them. The scripture tells us here at this time, it was not the Lord's intention to wipe them. He would say this in Hosea, but not to every person, because there was a remnant that He would be saving. There would be some that He would save according to His sovereign grace. And this is the gospel. This is a little picture of the gospel, even here in Israel. For all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are true Israel, and they will never be blotted out. Israel's wickedness was great. Their affliction was great and bitter. And the Lord's grace was great. Jonah got to see this. He got to see the Lord's compassion upon them in restoring their land and some freedom from their enemies. But that's not the only way that the Lord showed grace to Israel at that time. He also showed grace to them through His word. He told them He would do this for them. He makes them a promise through the prophet that He would restore this land to them. This was the word of His commitment to carry this out. It was His divine decree that this land would be restored to them. And the Lord had no obligation to do that. He did it because He was being gracious to them and showing them His favor, even though they didn't deserve it. It was His divine will that their bitterness be lifted. Their bitterness would be lifted. And as not one word of His falls to the ground with accomplishing His will, grace was delivered to them through His word. This grace was also God's desire for Nineveh. They too were wicked. They too did not deserve anything but His judgment. But the Lord's grace is great. The Lord says to Jonah, "Their wickedness has come up before me." That's why we read the whole book of Jonah, so we could see in one little snapshot how there was this judgment, how there was this wickedness, but also at the end how the Lord said to Jonah, "Should I not have pity on them? Should I not have grace towards them? They don't know their right hand from the left." It's like someone who has no help, no one to help them. Yes, their wickedness was great. It was rising up before the Lord as an odor from something that's dead and stinks and rises up. This is what wickedness in Nineveh was like. It was the grace of God that He even warned them, that He was even willing to send a man to warn them of their judgment. It was the grace of God that He speaks to man through His faithful word, just like He does to us. It is God's grace that comes through His word. God has shown grace to Israel because they had no one to help them. And God was saying to Jonah, "I'm going to show grace to them too, because they have no one to help them." And God has shown grace to us in the Lord Jesus Christ because we have no one to help us. And mankind who rejects the Lord's help will have no one else to help them. And so it's all of grace. And God was preparing Jonah by showing him Israel's wickedness so he could be ready for Nineveh's wickedness, and showing them God's grace towards Israel and the grace that He would be showing to Nineveh as well. Nineveh had no one to help them. They were blind, they were foolish in their wickedness, and that's what sin and wickedness does. They were not able to discern anything. And that's what it means when they couldn't discern their left hand from their right hand. It means they were fools. They were fools in their wickedness. They didn't understand anything. Even the basic thing like, this is my left hand and this is right, my right hand. God is speaking in extreme terms there and saying, look how foolish they are. How ignorant they are in their wickedness. Here is a city, verse 10 of chapter 4 tells us, of 120,000 persons and much livestock. And we're going to talk about why God even brings up much livestock. But the point is, He said to Jonah, "Shouldn't I pity them? You pity that plant, which came up in one day and withered in the next. And look at that compared to this great city of 120,000 souls. Should I not have pity on them?" So in chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. In chapter 2, he came to Jonah a second time, and he was to preach the message that God had given him, to preach the preaching that God had given him. You see, the book of Jonah is not about a great fish, though that gets the most attention from the world and sometimes from the church and maybe sometimes from us. The book of Jonah is not even primarily about. It's about the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah, He wasn't just limiting it to Jonah 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. That little statement was just representative of what God was doing throughout the whole book of Jonah. Showing great of wickedness. Such great wickedness that it rots smell. That's what Jesus was saying. God's grace is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. God's grace is here. That was His message to those people. And so the book of Jonah is not about primarily about Jonah, but it's primarily about God's grace to people who have no other helper. And that's you and I. And so the book of Jonah speaks to us, not just to Israel, but to us. Because we have no other helper except for God's grace. Israel and Nineveh had only one way to come to God, to be helped by God, and that was in the same way that we must come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard this recited earlier today, this grace of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." This is the message that God wanted preached to Nineveh. And it is the message that God wants us to preach and proclaim to Columbia and to Missouri and to the United States and to the world. Same message. You have no other helper. It is only through my grace and through the Lord Jesus Christ that and we're going to see as we look deeper into Jonah, Lord willing, in coming weeks, Jonah had to repent, for in 40 days the city will be overthrown. Now that's what is recorded here. It is likely that Jonah, in his days of traveling across that city, that three-day journey, showing us how big it was, that he was saying more than that. But that statement summarizes that message. You're about to be judged. Repent of your sin. And when someone repents of their sin, it is not do better. It is turn to God for grace. This is the message that God wanted preached to Nineveh. He wanted them to know His grace. He wanted Jonah to know His grace. Not to go on too much about what happened this past Wednesday, but the experience is still fresh in my mind. And one of the lady students that I was able to talk to on Wednesday, I said to her, "Today is a monumental day in your life because the grace of God is being declared to you. For God has seen fit to speak to you. Do not reject His grace." Well, that's our assignment. And this also was Jonah's great assignment that God had given to him. God was a prophet, telling them that they would take this land back and that he would be their helper. And now he is calling Jonah to speak to a nation that does not know of him as being Israel's God, but they did not know him. And depending on the timing of when Nineveh and this episode of Jonah with Israel was, Nineveh was the great capital city of Assyria that God would eventually use to judge Israel. And so, depending on when all this was going on, they may have heard of the Jehovah God, but now they would see that God was abandoning Israel, making themselves stronger even in their own minds. But God would use Nineveh, the country of Assyria, to be Israel's judge. They were Israel's enemy. And yet Jonah was called and assigned to go to God's enemy, to Israel's enemy, and to preach the message that God had given him. Is this not the way that God still works today? He still works through the preaching of His word to the nations, to nations who are His enemies, to our nation, to the people groups in our nation, and people groups throughout the whole world. God is still using this same method to send people to preach the preaching that He wants to be proclaimed. Isn't that how God worked in your life? To bring you to Himself? Did God not use somebody who proclaimed the gospel to you, whether it be a preacher or a teacher or your parents or a friend? If you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because you have read and or heard God's message of grace in Jesus Christ. This is the means that God uses, and it is the means he was going to use in Nineveh as well. And so if you know what Jonah knows, what he said in chapter 4, verse 10, if you know that, then you have a message to declare. You have a message to proclaim. Jonah had seen it. He had seen God's grace in action. Jonah knew it by... But unfortunately, this training did not do for Jonah what it should have done. It just was the opposite for him. He looked at God's grace. He knew God's grace. And he said, but I don't want that grace applied to Nineveh. That's what he said in chapter 4. I knew, Lord, you would do this. Because I know... Eventually, he did submit himself to the Lord's will, and we'll get to that later weeks as well. But the question is, have you experienced God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you have, then you, by your own testimony and by the Word of God, have a message to share with other people who do not know God. Romans 10:14 tells us, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you know God's grace through Jesus Christ, then you, like Jonah, have a great assignment to share that grace and to share that message with wicked people, just as somebody shared it with you in your wickedness. So just as Jonah was told to go out and cry out against them, to tell them of their sin and God's grace, to repent or they will be overthrown. That's the message of the gospel. To turn away from your sin, trust in God's grace through Jesus Christ, or you will be overthrown. Jesus said to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. When we think back to that assignment, to those disciples, was it only for them? Certainly it was given directly. But did that assignment end with them when their lives ended? No, of course not. God continues to use the church, preachers, teachers, mothers and fathers and friends to declare the gospel to people so that they won't be overthrown. It is for us, just as it was for Jonah to do, to take the gospel to our neighborhoods, to our city, to our state, to our nations. One of the things that we will look at when we get into more of the book of Jonah is our attitude towards lost people. And we likely have some attitudes towards lost people. I have attitudes toward lost people. I admit it. There are times when I have been talking with someone and they seem to speak nice and courteous, and I think to myself, I wonder if this person be open to the gospel. And then they let out a little rant of swear words or cuss words that are greatly offensive, and I say, nope, they're probably not going to be open to the gospel. That's a prejudice. That's a prejudice. And it's in my heart that it has to be worked out. So we have to ask ourselves, who is our Nineveh? Who is it that God is calling us and putting in our life who does not know the grace of God, does not know that God is slow to anger, full of mercy and compassion to save those who have no one to help them? Who in our life needs to hear this message? May the Lord help us to take the grace of God that we have experienced to others so that they won't be overthrown. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, preparing our hearts to hear more and more of your grace and mercy through the book of Jonah. We pray, Father, that you would help us to focus on these important things and that you would change our hearts towards our lost world, that it may be like yours, that we would seek to share your grace and mercy with them through Jesus Christ. And we do ask it in Jesus' name.